This is Game, Set, Match, Kentucky, Episode 2, recorded August 22nd, 2018, entitled, I've Heard They Have a Good High School Coach. Hey everybody, it's time for episode 2 of Game Set Match Kentucky, where we talk about all things related to the Central Kentucky Tennis Series, and maybe a whole lot more that you never asked for. This is August 22nd, 2018. I'm Chris Godby. I'm the chairman and one of the founders of the CKTS, where the lines are good and sandbagging is still for golf. I'm here at the CKTS headquarters in Russell Springs, Kentucky, and with me today, all the way from the lovely city of Bowling Green, Kentucky, which is one of my favorite cities in Kentucky, is one of our longtime tournament directors on the CKTS. His day job is he's the program director of a talk radio station in Bowling Green, where he hosts a morning talk show on Talk 104.1 FM and 930 AM. Chad, how do you do two shows on two stations at the same time? What's up with that?
Well, it keeps me busy, but no, it's just simulcast. It's just same program on two different stations.
Okay, so you don't have to run back and forth between studios across the hall.
No, I don't.
You're okay. You're going out on both stations at the same time. Okay, I should know better. Chad is also the tennis coach at South Warren High School. Please welcome Mr. Chad Young. Thank you for being here.
Appreciate the opportunity. I guess we're the westmost stop on the tour. Is that right?
The westernmost stop on the CKTS tour.
Right.
That is correct.
The wild west of Bowling Green.
On today's episode of Game, Set, Match, Kentucky, we're going to check out the latest tournament results from the Miller Park Tennis Classic in Campbellsville, which happened last weekend. We're going to look at the latest CKTS point standings that are now out after that tournament at Miller Park. We're also going to look at what's ahead in the CKTS and in other tennis around the area. I'd like to thank our sponsor for this week's episode, LakeNet Media Incorporated. And if you or your business is interested in sponsoring this podcast to help offset some of the costs and help promote tennis, send an email to info@gamesetmatchky.com. So today on the show, first let's talk about you, Chad, running two CKTS tournaments every year.
Yeah. I think it's probably been, about 6 years that we've done that.
Okay.
I think the first time we ran a second tournament, your memory's probably better than mine is. It seemed like there was an issue.
No way. No. I have two children. My memory is gone. So
there was an issue with a tournament that we had one earlier in the year, and then there was an opening, and so we went ahead and you asked me if we could do a second one, and we did, and I think we've been doing two a year ever since. So it can be a challenge for sure.
You say it's 6 years and I don't disagree with you, but gosh, that seems like that's been a long time that you've been doing two every year.
Yeah. I've actually been doing two a year for a little bit longer than we've been affiliated with CKTS. Cause I used to do, a tournament for, one of our charity tournaments, which was the CASA tournament. And they used to be on back-to-back weekends. You know, we have one in July. We've had our longest tournament on the CKTS has been the July one. And then I used to do one that was not a CKTS tournament. It was a USTA tournament, I think. But it was a charity tournament, and it was the same weekend as the Miller Park, you know, the first, you know, I think weekend in August. Now that was tough to do two of them back-to-back, you know, with just one weekend in between. The one in
Definitely.
Having one in June and having one in July, there's a little bit of a break there that you can kind of recover and get ready for the next one. I know we're going to talk about the Miller Park event. It's the first time I've played a CKTS tournament in a number of years. And it's, you know, I don't play many and I don't play in my own tournaments most of the time. So it was rare for me, and I've actually never been to Campbellsville before. So it was pretty neat.
I think that most tournament directors will agree that it's very difficult to play in your own tournament. And it's frustrating because you're there surrounded by tennis and you're involved with this because you love to play tennis. And yet there's tennis courts and matches going on all around you and you're kind of tied to the table.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible. You have to really have a good staff that can do it. And sometimes that's the case. But I'm a little bit of a control freak. I'd say most tournament directors are. So you don't ever want to be. And I've done this in the past where, you know, something happens and you're on court and something's going on at the desk. And I'll tell you a quick story. Because of some of my other obligations, we used to have an indoor tournament back when we used to have indoor courts in Bowling Green. And it was a charity tournament and it was indoors. And I had to go to Diddle Arena for the region basketball. I'm not sure if it was girls or basketball, but I had to broadcast it on the station. And so I had to leave the tournament that was going on and leave it, you know, for somebody else to run. And there was a father and a son, and they were playing in different divisions. They're playing doubles in different divisions, and they put the wrong person in the wrong draw. So they put the son who was playing in the open division, they put him in a B match, and they took the father who was a B level player and they put him in open because they just weren't paying attention. And you know, I came back later that night to discover what they had done, and you know, that was a disaster. So that's why I am really not comfortable leaving the tournament desk, or at least not being available at that moment to answer a question. So the only time I can really play in my own event is if I can kind of make myself like the last match of the day, or if it's a round robin and I can kind of schedule a specific time, you know, where I know we're not going to be really busy. But most of the time, I just don't even try it.
I would almost argue, you mentioned being a control freak. I would almost argue that a tournament director needs to be a control freak. And the only exception I can think of is that if you have some solid volunteers that could almost take it and run with it themselves.
Yeah, I mean, I have, but see, the problem with that is a lot of times we're running to two sites. And so those type of volunteers, I've probably got, you know, at the other site. But I mean, I've got a system, and I think each tournament director probably does things a little bit differently. And I know you've seen my system a little bit. And so I kind of use a card system, and that I think would make it easier for me to be away from the tournament desk if I really, you know, wanted to. But you know, it can be hard.
I've seen your little index card bulletin board system. He has a little index card of each match that's happening, and they're laid out in the formation of the courts where they are happening. It reminds me sort of a hostess station at a restaurant.
Yeah.
They have that grease pen and the big board there on their podium where they're kind of marking where what tables are full and what tables are empty. It sort of reminds me of that the first time I saw it. Well, speaking of tournaments, there's a big one going on in New York next week.
That's right. U.S. Open gets underway in a couple of days. And I think it's my second favorite tournament. I love Wimbledon. But I also enjoy the run-up to the U.S. Open, you know, some of the tournaments in Atlanta and Washington and Cincinnati. I didn't get to go to Cincinnati this year, but I've been in years past. And so, I'm really looking forward to the Open this year.
Me too. And I've enjoyed watching the tournaments in the U.S. Open series leading up to it. I got to watch some. I didn't make it to Cincinnati this last weekend, but I did manage to keep up with some of it on TV. And I'm going to go with Djokovic keeping it rolling. Wimbledon, Cincinnati, New York. What about you?
It's hard for me. You told me I was going to have to make a pick, but I didn't know you were going to pick Djokovic. But it's hard for me to really It's hard for me to really pick anybody else. You know, you can make a case for Federer, obviously. You can make a case for Nadal. But, I mean, Djokovic played so well against Federer last weekend in Cincinnati. And Nadal hasn't played a single U.S. Open Series event, has he? Did he play? No, he played Montreal. Yeah, he played Canada. So I guess I'll pick Nadal. Since you've taken Djokovic, I'll take Nadal. I really wish – I'm a big Rafa fan. I really wish he could have won Wimbledon because that's one he hasn't won in a while, and he won the U.S. Open last year. He's a defending champion. So I'll go with the defending champion if you're going to take Djokovic.
Man, I think we're in agreement. It's Djokovic's tournament to win.
The way he's playing right now, certainly seems that way.
Absolutely. And over on the women's side, I don't have a feeling about Sloane Stephens repeating. Halep is doing really well right now. What are your thoughts?
You know, it's hard to figure out Sloane Stephens because, you know, she's just so hot or cold. I think the pressure of defending is going to be too much for her to overcome. So I do not think she'll repeat. You know, I agree. Halep has been playing really well. You know, maybe it's one of those things where it was actually good for her to lose in the final in Cincinnati. Maybe that will kind of, you know, motivate her to.
Those were my thoughts.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So I kind of think I'll probably take Halep in that one.
Speaking of tournaments, let's look at results from the Miller Park Tennis Classic, one of the oldest tournaments on the CKTS. We've had that tournament every year since the organization began in 2003, and it began that first year as a last-minute replacement tournament for one that we were going to have in Boyle County, then the plans fell through that first year. So the Miller Park Tennis Classic has been around ever since, with the exception of a year when the courts at that park were going through renovation. We were limited to only six courts. I think this was back in 2012. And we were limited to only six courts, so we closed it to CKTS members only. And you know, still a challenge to do all that on six courts with members only. But we made it through that season like we end up making it through all of them. So let's start with results from Boys 12 Singles. In the final there, we had Antonio Noble defeating Gary Zhang, 6-3, 4-6, 10-7, split sets.
And just a side note on Antonio Noble, he is a future Spartan, too. So that's an important distinction. In boys 15 singles, it was Dylan Dethridge defeating Owen Brown, 6-2 and 6-2.
Looks like we had a good final in boys 18 and under singles. It was Whalen over Christensen, 6-7, 6-1, and 10-6 in the super tiebreaker.
In girls 12 and under singles, Anna Meredith, this was a good final as well, beat Ainsley Stovall, 1-6, 7-6, 10-8.
All right, it was Hadley Jones over Sarah Newton in the girls 15 and under singles. Hadley Jones winning 6-3, 6-4.
Girls 18 singles, Connor Gallagher with a convincing win over Ella Birch, 6-1, 6-0.
Men's B singles, we have Boer over Davis, 4-6, 6-2, 6-7. Davis had a walkover from the semifinals into the finals due to a withdrawal, but Boer wins the men's B singles.
Men's C singles, Darren Gillespie defeated Charles Roberts 6-0 and 6-0. Unfortunately, both of those players won their semifinal matches via default because players did not show up.
Ah, I see. Okay. Now to men's open singles. I'll do my best with this pronunciation. Chipat Sylvimelstein defeats Alex Spalding, 6-7, 6-4, 10-1.
In men's 40 singles, William or W.D. McCubbin defeated Orle Suazo 4-6, 6-2, and 10-4 in the tiebreaker.
Now, Chad, we actually had a women's open singles draw.
How about that?
That made at How Campbellsville. Only two players, but the draw made. And so Kendall Jablonowski from Belleville, Texas, defeats Emily Novak of Elizabethtown, Kentucky, 6-2, 6-love.
In boys 18 doubles, the team of Bybee and Christensen beat Brown and Towel 6-0 and 6-1.
Girls 18 and under doubles, it was Jones and Yates over Redford and Stevenson. Redford and Stevenson had won a split set match to make it into the finals, and they lose in a split set match to Jones and Yates in the final, 2-6, 6-2, 10-6.
Now to men's B doubles, the team of Scott and Young defeated Browning and McCubbin 6-3 and 6-2.
In men's C doubles, we have the father-son team of Charles Roberts and James Roberts defeating Tim Dethridge and Joseph Faust, both of Bowling Green. You know those guys?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. 6-1, 6-4 for the Roberts family.
Yeah. Tim Dethridge is the boys tennis coach at Greenwood High School.
Got it.
In the men's open doubles, it was Ettore Pavesi and Noah Swanky defeating W.D. McCubbin and Justin Martin 2-0 with retirement due to injury.
Men's 40 and over doubles was a round robin this time, which on the CKTS we do a round robin if there are three entrants in a singles event or three doubles teams in a doubles event. Everything else is a single elimination draw. But Ford and Perkins, Jason Ford and Tim Perkins, were the winners of two matches in the round robin. 6-3, 6-love over Steve and Don Humphreys. And they also win over Scott Conway and Van Patterson, 6-3, 6-3.
In women's B doubles, just two entries. So the championship was Allie Evans and Amber Wolf defeating Chatty Lee and Marvetta Overstreet, 6-2 and 7-6.
We have another round robin and another women's open division that made. It's women's open doubles, and the team of Sydney Cassidy and Natalie Noble are winners in that. They defeated Hensel and Rickard, 6-2, 6-3, and they also defeated Leslie Lohman and Hannah Lohman, 6-4, 6-3.
I've heard they have a good high school coach too, Chris. In mixed B doubles, we have the father-daughter team of Lex Lindsay and Hallie Lindsay defeating Meredith Johnson and Troy Young, 6-1 and 7-6.
In mixed open doubles, Chupat Suvimelstein and Kendall Jablonowski defeated Sydney Cassidy and you, Chad, sorry.
That's right.
Chad Young, 6-2, 6-2. So were they pretty tough?
They were good. They were good. Get me playing against some college kids and I'm in trouble. As we said, I'm approaching 40. I'm too old for that.
And I see that you won in the round of eight. That was a split set match. You got to walk over from the semifinal to the final, but just not, it wasn't enough, huh?
Yeah, that's why I made the final, is because we got the walk over. We actually played in the quarterfinal round. We beat my assistant coach and another one of my players. I was playing with one of my high school players, and we played against my assistant coach and another of my high school players. And we thought we were going to be done, but apparently there was an injury, and so we were lucky enough to make it to the finals.
Okay, and I think we have one more.
And in mixed 18 doubles, it was Connor Gallagher and Ethan Whalen defeating Ella Birch and Camden Carver, 6-3 and 6-0.
All right, so we're going to take a look now at the point standings as they're reflected from the Miller Park Tennis Classic, our most recent tournament. So, with the men's open singles, at the top now is Chupat Svimmelstein with 8 points.
In my understanding, Chris, is he is a went to Oneida Baptist in high school, but he is a player at Asbury College. In men's B singles, with 14 points, Jun Tomioka is the leader.
Men's C singles, Charles Roberts has 12 and a half points.
Men's 40 singles, W.D. McCubbin has 11 points, 1 point more than Orle Suazo, who he beat in the final in Campbellsville.
And that could be a tight race the rest of the way in the last three tournaments, depending on, you know, who can play.
Absolutely.
So next we're up to boys 18 and under singles. And the current leader there is Ethan Whelan with 12 points.
And boys 15 singles, Dylan Dethridge has a half point lead now with his win in Campbellsville over Owen Hundley. He has 8.5. Hundley has 8 points.
In boys 12 and under singles, Gary Zhang is 2 points ahead of Mason Baldwin. Gary Zhang has 9 points.
In men's open doubles, Tucker Bradley is the leader with 9 points.
In men's B doubles, there is a three-way tie at the top. Larry Kohler, Craig Overstreet, and John Newton each have 8.5 points.
Wow, that's a tight one. And then Jun Tomioka is just a half point back as well.
He's right there.
In men's C doubles, Charles and James Roberts, who've played together in all five CKTS tournaments this year, have a clear lead of 14 points on the rest of the field.
Yeah, it's definitely theirs to win. Mm-hmm. Men's 40 and over doubles, we call them the Humphreys brothers, but they're father and son. Stephen and Don Humphreys each have 8 points. Oh, no, I'm sorry. There's a five-way tie at the top. I've misread this. There's a five-way tie now at the top of men's 40 and over doubles. Steve and Don Humphreys, Scott Conway, Van Patterson, and Tim Perkins all have 8 points.
In boys 18 doubles, Owen Brown and Jason Towle lead the way with 7 points each.
Women's open singles, Emily Novak is in the lead with 7 points.
Probably just happy to get a match. In women's B singles, Amber Wolf leads with 6 points.
Interesting to note that we're actually this year getting more participation in women's open singles than we are in women's B singles. That's unusual.
It is strange.
But Alyssa Wolf is in the lead there with 6 points in women's B singles.
In girls 18 singles, Courtney Hayes and Connor Gallagher are tied at 11 points.
Girls 15 and under singles, Sarah Newton is in the lead by 1 point over Emmy Redford with 10 points.
Girls 12 singles, Ainsley Stovall has a pretty good lead with 11 points over Aaron Riney, who's at 6.
Women's open doubles, the team of Cheryl Hensel and Trina Rickard are in the lead currently with 11 points.
In women's B doubles, there is Amber Wolf leading the way with 12 points.
Girls 18 and under doubles, we have Madeline Stevenson in the lead with 9 points.
In mixed open doubles, Tyler Hyatt and Emily Novak have a slim lead with 8 points over the mother-son duo of Hayden and Trina Rickard, who are at 7.5 points.
In mixed B doubles, father-daughter team of Lex Lindsay, Hallie Lindsay have 14 points and a comfortable lead.
And in mixed 18 doubles, Keegan Christensen leads with 12 points for the males, and Ella Birch leads for the females with 9 points.
So that's a look at our current point standings, which we will update after the upcoming Glasgow Open. So speaking of upcoming, we're now looking ahead to some events. And so the Glasgow Open is this coming weekend, August 25th and 26th. By the time you hear this podcast, you've missed the deadline. After that, we have the Ballman Tennis Classic. That's the name of our new Columbia tournament run by the new Lindsey Wilson tennis coach. Well, it's his second year as Lindsey Wilson College tennis coach, Justin Martin. That tournament will be September 8th and 9th with a deadline of Tuesday, September 4th. And then our final tournament of the CKTS season will be near the end of September, September 22 and 23. That's the Lake Cumberland Open, September 22 and 23. Its deadline is Tuesday, September 18th. It's run by the Lake Cumberland Tennis Association. They are doing lots of other stuff too. From spring all the way through fall, they've got a full calendar of clinics and leagues and small tournaments, plus this big tournament, the Lake Cumberland Open. Right now, they've just started a fall league this week on Monday. It runs through October 15th. And I don't know if it's too late to get in and to get into that or not, but I thought I would mention it. They play from 5 to 8 p.m. on Mondays and Thursdays. It's $20 to be a part of that. And they play those matches at the newly renovated courts at Pulaski County High School. If you have some events for your tennis association that you would like for us to discuss on this podcast and announce, please send your tennis events to info@gamesetmatchky.com. Chad, it's time to challenge the call. So, as a tournament director, someone who does two tournaments a year, you probably get this question frequently. And the question is, how do you determine seeding?
Well, I will I'll go back and make a point that I made earlier that every tournament director probably does things a little bit differently. While there is no true seeding, it is, in my opinion, a tournament director's responsibility to try to make things as, I like to use the term, balanced as possible. So, what I do is I'll look at tournament results on the tour from the past. I'll look at, last year's point standing sometimes, and then look at, how teams finish. Sometimes it can be different because some tournaments draw bigger fields than others. But, my goal is, people who are used to playing each other in the final and, teams, doubles teams or singles entries, I want my strongest teams or my strongest players playing each other in the semis, at least, if not the final. So there may not be a true seeding process, but I do try to, there's another thing to take into consideration. You try to get people to not play each other from the same city. So if you've got two people from Elizabethtown or two people from Bowling Green or two people from Glasgow, you try to not have them meet in the first round. But then you try to make sure your teams that have performed better over the course of the tour and then last year's tour as well, you try to make sure that they're on opposite ends of the draw, that they may not play each other in the first round. Now, there can be some surprises for sure. And there are teams that I don't know from, Columbia, or there could be a surprise team from E-Town that I don't know. So that's just because you don't face one of those teams you're used to facing in the first round doesn't mean that you can't face a good competition. But I guess that would be my answer is you take past results and you try to use them to make sure that your best teams meet in the semifinals or the finals. Now, one thing that I think could change that, I don't think we're quite there yet because I don't think there are enough results. It helps a little bit with kids, but not necessarily the adults, is I think UTR will be a factor in the future in terms of trying to make sure your draw is weighted the right way.
Exactly. And as you said in the beginning of that response, tournament directors are all going to be slightly different. Now, my answer to that question, how is seeding determined, would be very similar to yours. You're going to take a few factors into account. You're going to take into account their recent results, their CKTS ranking, and perhaps in the future, the UTR. You try to avoid doubles partners playing each other in singles at least in the first round, if you can avoid that. And you try to mix it up, as you said, so that people from the same hometown don't necessarily play against each other in the first round, if you can avoid it, because they probably play each other pretty often. And one of the reasons that people get into these tournaments is because they want to play different people, that they don't normally play. So although that we don't use seeding per se, we don't put numbers on our, you know, next to our names as far as seeding. But I think we can all agree what we're trying to do is spread out the best players and then separate based on the other factors. As the year goes along, it's more and more difficult to do it. Because it's, you know, it's just tough to make all those configurations in a matchup.
Yeah, it can be a challenge sometimes. And, you know, I even sometimes will try to look at past draws to see who's played each other in previous tournaments and at least try to get them to not play each other in the first round. Now, with, you know, 20-plus draws, and a limited amount of time to get draws done. You know, sometimes we can't be that thorough with all draws. Sometimes you just got to, you know, try to make sure your best teams don't match up with each other and kind of hope for the best.
Well, if you would like to challenge the call, asking us a frequently asked question, you can tweet us at GameSetMatchKY. Hopefully you're following us on Twitter at GameSetMatchKY. We also have a Facebook page at GameSetMatchKY, same username. Or you can search on Facebook for Game Set Match Kentucky, the podcast. Of course, you can also email us at challenge@GameSetMatchKY.com. I think that's going to just about serve out another episode of Game Set Match Kentucky. I want to thank you for listening. I'd like to ask you to, if you're listening, definitely please hit that subscribe button in your Apple Podcast app, your Google Podcast app, your Android Podcast app, your whatever form you're listening to this on. Please subscribe, and better yet, please go over to the store where you found it for free and give us a rating and leave us a review. We're going to start reading some of these reviews on the show once we start getting them. All of our shows are available at GameSetMatchKentucky.com or GameSetMatchKY.com. Either way, we'll get you there. You can visit that site for all of our episodes and show notes and any links to references that we've talked about in the broadcast. If you would like to sponsor Game Set Match Kentucky, please send your inquiry to info@GameSetMatchKY.com. And with that, I believe Hawkeye says we are out. So until next time, I'm Chris Godby with Chad Young. Thank you for being here today, Chad.
Appreciate it, Chris.
And this has been Game Set Match Kentucky. All right. That was like 39 minutes. So pretty good. Good stuff, Chad. Are you there? Chad?
Yeah, I said you get a radio guy on here and I'll talk forever.